reminds me of my high school days. Whenever we had an assembly and we had a speaker that we didn't particularly care to hear, he'd be in the middle of a sentence and just spontaneous clapping. I hope that's not the motive this morning.
It's good to be here again. 2 weeks in a row, I think. That might be the first time it's happened in my time here. But God has a view to what you say. So I'm not going to argue with him or resist. The Bible tells me he once used a donkey. So that's pretty humbling. We have a word this morning from the Lord. And the topic is guilty but not condemned. Guilty but not condemned. And we're going to look at two passages of scripture this morning. The first one is from John chapter number 8, the gospel according to St. John chapter number 8, beginning from verse 1 and going to verse 11, and then we're going to go into Romans chapter 8. John 8 verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." We all probably have heard this passage of scripture before, some of us many times. Those of us here at the church that have had the privilege of performing in our Easter drama called Reflections of Calvary, you can't help but hear the words through some of the actors in that drama when you read them. The words just come alive in a different way when you read them on the page of the Bible. But this is a case, an account, where the scripture said early in the morning Jesus came into the temple And as was his habit, it's interesting when you read, Jesus didn't have an idle moment. He was, in fact, he said it when his mom, when his very early age, he said, I must be about my father's business. So he used up every waking moment to be about his father's business. You know, even when he was supposed to be resting, he found the occasion to teach and impart into his disciples. He lived life with them. He spent time with them. But on this occasion, as he was teaching, the scripture says the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. So it's interesting to see the people that brought this woman to Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, the people who were learned in the law. They took pains to follow the law to the letter. They had an outward show of religiosity. And they were the ones who felt entitled to the best places, to the first service. And so they come bringing this woman, and the scripture says she was caught, well, they told Jesus that she was caught in the very act. And little did they know that they were bringing her to the place of salvation, to the place to meet the one whose mission on earth was to pay the penalty for sin, past, present, and future. But they didn't stop there, because they quoted, like I said, they knew the law inside and out. And like I say often, when I talk to people, I say it's a pretty dangerous place to be to know a lot about God and to know the Bible up here without it affecting here. Amen? They knew the scriptures in and out, so they came and quoted the scriptures to Jesus. What they didn't know was that Jesus is the Word. You see, they didn't know that part, because all they knew was the letter. The scripture said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So they quoted the law. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. So the question is, if you already know what Moses said in the law, right? And she was caught in the act, it should be case over. No, but God had a plan. He had a lesson that is being passed down to us all these millennia later. And they said it to try to test him and tempt him. They did that often. They asked him about divorce. What do you say about divorce? We know what Moses said, but what do you say? They tried all these tricks. And the scripture tells us they said it only to test him in verse 6 that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus acted as if he didn't hear them. And he just kept writing. And then they kept asking him over and over. Verse 7 says they continued asking him, and then at that point, he rose up and said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone first." And then he forgot about them and started writing again. Verse 9 tells us, "Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone with the woman." Now, today we may look at this account and think that these Pharisees and scribes were way out of line. They were not. They were going by the law as they knew it at that time. But what I will propose to you this morning is that even some of us in here, under the sound of my voice, may be guilty of the same thing, though in a different fashion. We sit and we hear a message sometimes, and the first thing that comes to our minds, "Oh, I hope my neighbor was here. I wish my sister, my co-worker, my fill in the blank was here to hear this message. Because that's a bad thing. I mean, I may be a sinner, but I'm not that bad." Don't we sometimes, and sometimes I realize it may be even subconsciously, because that's how we are, that's how we think. So in our minds, we begin to condemn others when we ourselves are just as guilty. No more, no less. I laugh sometimes when I hear somebody sentenced to 5 consecutive life terms. You only got one. Unless you're a cat, they say they have 9. But Jesus told her, when he asked, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, there's a difference between being innocent and being not guilty, being found not guilty. Amen? This lady that the account speaks of this morning was by no means innocent. She was guilty as charged, if in fact she had been caught in the act that the law condemned. Jesus said while he walked this earth that he did not come to abolish the law, but that he came to fulfill the law. Because it had already been established that man, that we are incapable of achieving reconciliation with God and communion with God through obedience to the law. that had already been established. So Jesus came as a fulfillment of the law. And after his finished work, his sacrifice, his death, and his resurrection, the only thing we have to do is accept his gift of salvation, which pays the penalty that we deserve, being guilty of being sinners. That's it. And that's why he says, neither do I condemn you. You see, they don't have the ability to condemn you. So if we switch places and we take these scribes and Pharisees and we replace them with the enemy of our souls, Satan, the devil, and his minions, they're still in the accusing business. Amen? They're still in our minds, reminding us when we decide to pray and read our word and do things that God has called us to do. They remind us of stuff, of sins, of times we've fallen. Because the objective is to make us weak and ineffective and saddled with guilt. I'm here to tell you this morning that we're guilty as charged, but we're not condemned. Because the penalty that we deserve has been paid in full, stamped. Amen? Amen? Been paid in full. So let's lift our heads up this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter number 8. So I don't have any notes this morning, so I got to turn to the scripture. Romans 8, beginning at verse 1, and I think we'll only go up to, well, we'll see where the Spirit leads. Romans 8, beginning at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's stop there for a moment. What's Paul saying? Though you may be guilty of sin, guilty as charged, but there is now no condemnation, zero, zippo, to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means that we have accepted the free gift of salvation that Jesus paid for with his precious blood. And we've been washed. And we've been made new. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we've become a new creation in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, the flesh and the Spirit coexist. Not the coexist that you see on the bumper stickers. The flesh and the Spirit coexist. But when we become new creations, we are called, because at that point, the Spirit of God comes to live within us and helps us and teaches us and counsels us and guides us if our spirit is tuned to the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit will usually not be the loudest noise in the room. So sometimes we got to tune out the noise. And I'm using that term broadly. Whatever that is that prevents us from walking by the Spirit of God. And it will be different for all of us. But who walk not according to the flesh, not according to the, we don't live purposely to serve the desires of our flesh. No, but walk according to the Spirit. Walk according to what the Spirit of God that lives within us is leading us and guiding us and instructing us and teaching us to do. Because that's the business of the Spirit. And then what does verse 2 say? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law that the scribes and Pharisees were quoting to Jesus that they had learned with their head but wasn't in their heart, it was the law of sin and death. It was the law of automatic condemnation because it was a law that nobody could keep to the 100% extent. So you were always guilty. And you are always condemned if you try to live under the law and fulfill the requirements of the law. You see, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I came that you may have life. And not just barely live, but what? Have it more abundantly. Not just survive, but thrive. Amen? So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free. Because we're now wrapped up in Him and He's wrapped up in us. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. It was the only way that it could happen. The scripture said, He who knew no sin, He became sin so that we might be made righteous. So that when we are accused, when the accuser brings us before the Father in the throne of judgment, there will be no condemnation. There is no condemnation. We just read in the scripture. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, He condemned sin in the flesh. The scripture says he was tempted in all manner like we are. I struggled with that for a long time. But as Solomon said in his wisdom, that there is nothing new under the sun. You know, we like to think that all this stuff that's going on around us, God must be confused because he's such this old, ancient God. He doesn't understand the internet. And we may not sit and think about it, but subconsciously, you know, God is this, well, he's old and young at the same time. And there is nothing that confuses him or confounds him because he knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. Amen? But that was his plan all along. There is nothing new under the sun. So when the scripture says that Jesus was tempted in all manner like we are, I found the answer in when Satan took him into the wilderness. Into the wilderness. All sin falls into three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All sin falls into one of those three categories. And those were the exact things that Satan tried to tempt Jesus with in the wilderness. Go back and read it. So he went through everything that we're going through. He understands. That's why they say we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He understands what it is to be tempted. He knows we're not God in the flesh like he was when he walked this earth. But he also knows that he suffered and died to pay the price for our sins. So nothing pains God more than when we neglect, when we neglect the freedom that comes from walking in his way, for living and walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, after all he's done to pave the way to bring mankind back to himself. Verse 4 of Romans chapter 8. That the righteous requirement of the law, let's go back to verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Again, you see that, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Sin cannot enter the presence of God. So there is a righteous requirement that God requires of us if we're to be reconciled to him and enter his presence. And that's why the scripture that I just quoted said that Jesus, he who knew no sin, he became sin so that we might become righteous, that we will be declared righteous in the eyes of God. But we have to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit the things of the Spirit. The good thing about it is that the Spirit of God living within us will help us keep our minds and live our lives according to the Spirit of God. That's a beautiful thing. It's an open book test. Some of us still manage to fail open book tests. But God Himself gives us the ability to live according to His Spirit. That's why Jesus said that when He goes, the Comforter will come, the Holy Spirit will come. God will send His Holy Spirit that will dwell within us. You see, before Jesus came and paid the price, ask the worship team to come up. Before Jesus came and paid the price, people had to go into the temple to be in the presence of God. And had to go through all these ceremonies. But Jesus said, I will send the Comforter. He will be with you. He will live within you. So He lives right within us and gives us the ability, if we so desire, to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Let me tell you one secret this morning. It's much easier and more pleasurable to walk after the flesh. You see, that one thing you get when you come to this church, we'll tell you what the Word of God says. It's easy and more pleasurable to walk after the flesh. But if we have our minds set on walking after the Spirit Himself will help us to do that. So no, I don't think any of us here this morning is innocent of being sinless. I'm not. Let me speak for myself. But because of what God has done, He sent His only Son to live on earth as a man, to suffer, die a horrible death. So that even though we are guilty as charged, we don't get to pay the penalty. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So let's stop living our lives like condemned people, like people who have no hope, like people that have been sentenced to a life term of suffering and sin and lack and pain and discouragement and disappointments and all the bad things we can think about. Yes, we go through those stuff. We go through those things. God didn't say that we walk on flowery beds of ease. But what did He say? He said that whatever we go through, He'll be right there with us. The Spirit is always with us. Even sometimes we don't want Him to be there. We want Him to wait a little bit. Right? Or is it just me? But He's always there, encouraging us, nudging us, reminding us. I was just telling somebody, I think it was yesterday, that you may not be able to quote scripture references and give the verse and thing like Jack Van Impe. I think the guy's memorized the whole Bible. But the important thing is knowing that it's in the Word. And God, the Spirit has a way of just bringing it to your consciousness at the right time that a scripture is needed. It's nothing you've thought about, but you're talking to somebody and boom, it pops in. Because you've heard it before, it's planted in there somewhere. Let's be steadfast, friends. Let's continue to nourish the spiritual part that connects with God. Some of us do a very good job of nourishing the flesh. You need food to live. But the fleshly part of us is just temporary. It's the spirit that will live forever. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Indeed, he's worthy this morning to be praised. Amen. I don't know about you, but the Spirit of the Lord is present in this place this morning. And God's still in the need meeting and in the prayer answering business. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. So no matter what we came in here with this morning, no matter what burdens we brought in here with us, Spirit is saying this morning, let's lay them at the feet of the cross. There's still room. There's still room. God wants to meet us just as we are. Just as the scribes and Pharisees brought the woman who had been caught in sin. Little did they know they were bringing her to the place of healing and redemption and forgiveness. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. We declare your lordship in this place, in our lives, in our families, in our homes. We declare, Lord, you are Lord and you are Savior of our lives. Washed. We've been washed by your precious blood, Lord. And Lord, where we've sinned and fallen short of your glory, because your word says all have sinned and fallen short of your glory, we come asking for mercy this morning. Forgive us. Wash us with your precious blood this morning. And Lord, may we have a renewed sense and awareness of your sweet Holy Spirit living within us. To remind us, Lord, that though we may have sinned, we are not condemned, but have been declared not guilty by reason of the penalty already been paid. And walk in that assurance. Lord, we lift up those that are sick in the body this morning. Whatever it is, you know it better than they know. Even they know themselves, Lord. We speak healing by the power of your Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. We speak emotional healing this morning. In Jesus' name. Lord, those that are seeking a closer relationship with you, Lord, we pray you will reach out to them and draw them closer to you. Let them hear your voice this morning. In Jesus' name. Lord, those that may be discouraged in our midst this morning, oh, encourage them by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, make every disappointment a divine appointment with you, Lord. Help us not to focus on those doors that may be closed and to focus on that one that you have open, calling us into it. We pray for financial breakthrough, Lord, to those that may be lacking in our midst this morning, Lord. Your word says you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Father, this morning we pray for our family members, our spouses, our children, grandchildren, parents, grandparents, nieces, nephews, that may have walked away from you, Lord, Bring them back into the fold. In the name of Jesus, we lift you up this morning, Lord. We say, speak to our hearts this morning. Lead us, direct us. Comfort us. Yes, let us rest in your love this morning. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us till we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.